Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the C.E. Info Systems Limited earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anmol Garg from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vivian. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of DAM Capital, we welcome you all to the Q4 FY22 conference call of CE Info Systems. We have with us Mr. Rakesh Verma, co-founder and chairman of the company, Mr. Rohan Verma, CEO and executive director of the company. So, without any further ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Rakesh Verma for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
This is Rakesh Verma. I would like to welcome all of you in this call, and it's my privilege to present before all of you the quarterly results as well as the annual result for the fiscal year 22. I would straight get into some of the financial highlights of the year that ended on March 31, 2022. And after I present the financial highlights, I'll ask Rohan to take all of you through the entire business operations and the depth of the business, how we have done from the non-financial angle as well. So to start with, in my last call also I had mentioned the best way to understand CE Info Systems Limited, MapMy India, is to always look at year on year, whether it is for quarter ending or for the year ending. Keeping that in mind, I'll talk both about the Q4 results as well as since March 31 the year also ended, I'll talk about the full year results. Let me first start with the full year and then I'll come back to the Q4 also. For the full year, the total income went up from 192 crores in fiscal year 21 to 242 crores ending fiscal year 22, which is a growth of 26%. Revenue from operations, and I'm talking about for our consolidated financial statement. Revenue from operations went up from 152 crores to 200 crores, which is an increase of 31%. EBITDA, which is a measure of the operations of the company, went up from 53 crores to 86 crores in fiscal year 22, which is an increase of 63%. EBITDA margin also went up from 35% to 43%. PBT, profit before tax, went up from 79 crores in 21 to 117 crores in FY22, which is an increase of 49%. Profit before tax as a percentage of the revenue also went up from 41% to 48%. PAT, the profit after tax, went up from 60 crores to 87 crores, which is an increase of 45%. And as a percentage of the total income, it also went up from 31% to 36%. Contribution margin itself also went up from 126 crores to 170 crores. In other words, the contribution margin went up from 83% to 85%, providing a very high operating leverage to the company's profitability. Some other numbers like cash and cash equivalents went up from 336 crores in ending FY21 to 382 crores. After paying off the dividends as well as the acquisition that we made. Now let me get back to the Q4 numbers. itself. When I look at the total income of Q4, the total income went up from 56 crores in Q4 FY21 to 69 crores in Q4 FY22, which is an increase of 23%. Revenue from operations went up from 47 crores to 57 crores, which is an increase of 20%. EBITDA went up from 19 crores to 23 crores, which is an increase of 22%. And EBITDA as a percentage margin stayed at 41% in FY21 and FY22. PBT went up from 24 crores to 34 crores, which is an increase of 39%. And as a margin, also from FY21, 43%, it went up to 44%. PAT went up from 19 crores to 23 crores, which is an increase of 18 crores. And the margin 34% to 33%. So this has been the Q4 numbers that I talked about. Even the contribution margin went up for the Q4 from 82% to 87%. In terms of the number of employees, we had in end of FY21, we had 734 employees. That number has gone up to 936. Out of this, 124 is part of the acquisition of the company that we made. So still, the number went up from 734 to 936. In the past, I have been asked about what kind of money we are spending on the R&D. When we did the from FY21, the R&D expenses were approximately 3 crores. That has gone up to 5 crores in FY22. With these numbers, I will ask Rohan to talk about the business side of the company, which will describe the segmental analysis of the customers, which will also describe the order in hand situation and the related areas. Over to you, Rohan.
Thanks, Mr. Verma. Hi, everybody. This is Rohan Verma, CEO and Executive Director of MapMy India. So just to kind of set a one-minute background on the company the people who are new. We are India's leading provider of advanced digital maps, geospatial software, and location-based IoT technologies, and we serve B2B and B2B2C enterprise customers primarily. We are a data and technology products and platforms company, and we offer our proprietary digital maps as a service, what we call MAS, software as a service, SaaS, and platform as a service, or PaaS. So fundamentally, our map and data, which is the core of the company, is what we include in our MaaS offerings, and our platform and IoT suite of products includes our SaaS and PaaS offerings, serving many, many different use cases. Now, we serve two distinct markets, or we have been able to divide our business into two different market segments. One is what we call automotive and mobility tech, A&M, and the other is consumer tech and enterprise digital transformation, C&E. And we serve the Indian market under our brand MapMy India, and also we are serving now the world market under our brand Mapples. Breaking down the revenue for this financial year, we went in our A&M business from in FY20 of 103.9 crores, FY2021 it went down to 80 crores, and that was all down to COVID. As we explained, the automotive and mobility tech market is linked to both existing new vehicles which are sold, as well as existing on-road vehicles which are moving for the purpose of, let's say, logistics or people transport, etc. And so FY21, the macro environment around automotive and mobility both were down due to lockdowns. FY22, we've been able to come back strongly. It is now at 113 crore, which is almost a 40-41% increase in the A&M segment. In terms of qualitatively, in Q4, we signed up a bunch of OEMs who started to integrate our N-CASE offerings, including one large Indian motorcycle OEM, as well as an EV two-wheeler OEM startup. Then, as part of our N-CASE offerings, as we said, we service navigation needs, connected vehicle telematics and platform needs, ADAS and autonomous kind of needs, shared mobility, as well as electric mobility needs of OEM customers. So in that regard, we signed up a Japanese customer for their mobility as a service foray into India. Also, the largest four-wheeler OEM of India went live with their next generation connected vehicles in Q4, and that comes integrated with our maps and technologies. And finally, on the safety side, an interesting kind of update was we offer a lot of road safety or ADAS, advanced driving assistance systems capabilities in our maps, in our navigation, in our technologies, in our APIs. And so something that Nissan did is partner with us for this road safety initiative by using our road safety platform, similar to how Ministry of Road Transport and Highways in Q3 had signed up with us for something similar. Now, as I said, in FY22, A&M revenues grew 41%, and we continue to expand the use case adoption across our N-CASE suite within automotive OEMs. So there are 5 growth engines to our automotive business, selling navigation systems, connected systems, ADAS and autonomous systems, shared mobility, as well as electric mobility systems. And what I try to give you a flavor of is amongst the new signups in Q4, new signups in FY22, which we have reported before, as well as the go lives of our various customers, we're happy to see a lot of adoption across the board of our different kind of offerings to OEMs. Across automotive and mobility tech, what is nice is in FY21, 1 million new vehicles went integrated with MapMania Maps and Technologies. In FY22, it's up to 1.3 million vehicles. It's good to see kind of volume growth also. In our what we have done for IoT and logistics, which is part of our mobility offerings, we have acquired 76% in a company called Gtropy Software, so that we can provide a specific boost and specific focus on our mobility aspect of the automotive and mobility tech, meaning focusing on growing further penetration in the base of on-road vehicles, whether it is commercial vehicles for goods transport or taxis or even for the retail market. And so by acquiring Gtropy, we've been able to give a specific focus on the IoT and logistics SaaS part of our business. That's A&M. Now I'll come to C&E, which is Consumer Tech and Enterprise Digital Transformation, where essentially we are servicing large consumer tech companies, enterprises across all industry segments, be it in the new age tech space, be it in the traditional companies such as BFSI or retail or FMCG, as well as in the public sector or the government space. So, again, what is interesting about FY2020, our revenue from the C&E segment was 44.7 crores, which went up in FY2021 to 72.4 crores, and in FY22 it has further grown to 87.4 crores. So growing at 21% in FY22. What is nice is the use cases again continue to expand. And this gives us, and we have been successful in furthering our upselling and cross-selling opportunities to new and existing customers. And some of the examples of that are, like in Q4 FY22, 2 large FMCG majors went live with our geospatial analytics platform and our workforce automation platform, respectively. A large e-commerce company signed up with us for geospatial analytics. Then a large CRM SaaS company has integrated our map APIs to build into their SaaS product for their customers so that they can offer inbuilt location intelligence. So as their product usage grows amongst their customer base, our revenues will also grow. A large global social media app has also integrated our map data to provide better location-based end consumer experiences. A lot of large popular consumer-facing apps already use MapmyIndia, but we are happy that one more large such player has signed up, which is now having an increased focus on India. Then on the government side or public sector side, we again serve many different use cases in the geospatial arena. Whether it is on the federal side or the central government side, the state government side, or the urban local bodies or local government municipal corporation side, including also in the defense and security area. So some examples that we wanted to highlight is a large smart city has signed up for our geospatial information systems or GIS-based property tax solutions. One of the large state urban development authorities have signed up for multiple use cases, and where we are bringing on our newly built up drone and 3D mapping capabilities. As we explained in the Q3 earnings call, that we have started to expand our drone capabilities, drone solution capabilities, and we are happy to see kind of increased adoption of that in a relatively short period of time. Also, one of the large safe cities in South India, you know that the government has an increased focus as part of its Nirbhaya fund to make a lot of cities safer from women and child safety point of view. So we have signed up a large city for crime mapping and geospatial analytics. And finally, one of the large state road transport corporations has signed up for their public transport platform to use MapmyIndia. So like I said, a lot of different use cases. Many of these serve as anchor use cases, which we further replicate across different customers in their segment or across geographies, etc. And that's what opens up the kind of snowballing opportunities for us in the future. Now I'll move to the product-wise segmental revenue. So revenue grew for both map and data by suite of products by 37%, and also for our platform and IoT suite of products by 28%. And this is again on the back of increasing usage by existing as well as new customers and more use cases. So in FY20, map and data contributed 88.7 crores of revenue, which went down to 60.8 crores of revenue in FY21 and went up to 83.1 crores of revenue in FY22. And in platform and IoT, you see the continuous growth, 60 crores in FY20 to 91.7 crores in FY21 to 117.3 crores in FY22. Showing that, you know, both our areas of products, map and data as well as platform and IoT, are seeing growth as again more and more use cases and more customers are coming into our basket. One of the other big business updates on the product side was we have released our Mapples platform. Like we have been saying that, look, our stack of solutions is map agnostic and global in nature, so geography agnostic also. So what we did in Q4 is unified and released our one global platform, which we call Mapples, which includes both our own map data that we have been building in depth for India since the last 27 years, but also for many neighboring countries, about 8-9 neighboring countries for the last 4-5 years, plus 200 other countries and territories whose publicly available maps we have integrated into our platform so that we can offer a global solution to both Indian multinational customers as well as international customers. On the map and data product suite side, we continue to relentlessly expand the coverage and capabilities of our core foundation map product, enhance the real-time and rich component of our maps so that users get the best and most feature-rich maps on a real-time basis. Our value-added geo-demographic data sets, which enable a lot of analytics and location intelligence use cases, as well as our advanced map data, which covers the three-dimensional, high definition or high precision and real view 360 degree panoramic capabilities. And remember, these advanced maps are something that the government's geospatial policy allows Indian companies such as ours to do, but not foreign entities to do. And so with this vision that we've been articulating for 4-5 years, that we are pushing towards our own AI-powered digital metaverse of the real world. So you can start imagining that what use cases and what market opportunities are emerging for us both today because of our core foundation maps, our real-time and rich updated maps, the ability to offer lots of location intelligence and geodemographic data set-based analytics as well as advanced map data. On the platform and IoT product suite side, we've released many, many new products in both our cloud maps, meaning our whether it is location search or routing and navigation or traffic or in the way that we render indoor, outdoor, 2D, 3D, high-definition maps in an interactive way for the best kind of views, what we call real view or for VR or AR kind of points of view, as well as our developer API suite, which contains both map capabilities as well as automotive tech, geospatial, as well as digital transformation capabilities. So again, more products on the Encase automotive suite, our enterprise digital transformation suite, our geospatial suite, which includes drone-based solutions, and our IoT suite for mobility and logistics customers, hardware as well as software, which is further augmented by our acquisition of Gtropy on an IoT and logistics SaaS company, as we've mentioned before, as well as a lot of updates on our consumer-facing app and gadgets. Now, I'm moving on to our order book. Our annual new order bookings have continued to gain momentum with growth in orders across both A&M as well as C&E market segments. And this is basically because of continued adoption and expansion of our use cases as well as upselling and cross-selling to new and existing customers. So in FY20, we had booked annual new orders of 271 crores, which in FY21 has moved up to 468.2 crores, and in FY22, it has moved further up to 523 crores. Now, open order book as of April 2021, beginning of the last financial year, this past financial year, stood at 377 crores, which has now moved up to 699.6 crore rupees. And historically, as we've said before, our open order book to revenue conversion ratio has been over 3 to 5 years on average. So that will give you a sense of the annual new orders kind of breakup. And in terms of the breakup between fixed pricing and volume projections, again, fixed pricing is where the prices or the size of the contracts are already predetermined and fixed, which the customer is committed to paying us. It is a function of, you know, time as they pay us based on the type of contract. And then volume-based projections for OEMs happens where they sign us up for a platform and they say that they will put it in X number of vehicles or vehicle models and hence number of vehicles over the period of the contract. That's where the volume projection based orders kick in. And then for API transactions and subscriptions where it is a pay-as-you-go basis, we don't book any orders in advance. We book the orders as their usage happens and we bill them. So if you want to do a simple kind of maths on annual new order breakup versus revenue open order book, you can see that we started the year on 377 crore open order book. We generated new orders of 523 crore and we recognized 200 crore of revenue. So 377 plus 523 equals to 900 minus 200 equals to 700 crores, which is our open order book at the end of the year. So revenue in the year is a combination of previous year's order book converted into revenue that year, part of it, and also in-year orders that we booked within the year, which gets converted within that year itself, and then future order book will get converted into future revenue. In terms of customers, we're happy to say that customers' growth is also happening. We had 500 plus customers on our MaaS, SaaS and PaaS platform in FY21. That has now grown by 100 numbers. So it is now up to 600 plus in FY22. Of course, since inception, we have serviced more than 2,000 enterprise customers, including the marquee names across nearly every vertical. Some of the names we have already reported as part of our RHP, etc. But you look around in automotive or consumer tech or enterprise or even government, the marquee names are mostly our customers. On the customer concentration side, we're happy to share that the trend continues to show diversification and deconcentration. Our top 80% of our revenue in FY19 was made of 17 customers, which moved up to 22 in FY20, to 25 in FY21, and then in FY22 we had 35 customers contributing 80% of our revenue. Even in terms of retention, customers who are amongst these large customers, 88% were retained between FY19 to FY20. Then amongst the large customers in FY20, 91% were retained in FY21. And amongst the large customers in FY21, 92% were retained in FY22. So shows that our retention ratio is also going further up. In terms of employees, Mr. Verma has already given you the headline numbers of 812 employees, 734 employees in FY21, moving up to 936 employees, which includes 124 employees of Gtropy in FY22. And we further in our presentation deck broken it up by permanent and non-permanent and also technical and SG&A, etc. We've also shared our attrition rate, which from FY20 was 12%, FY21 was 13.5%, and in this challenging labor market tech talent market is 17.45%. And the way that we continue to kind of retain and upskill our employees is basically a combination of upskilling them, giving them new opportunities to build on world-class technology products and platforms, something that they don't get an opportunity to work in other services type companies, and also we of course take care from a compensation point of view to make sure that we are market competitive. And finally, on the P&L highlight side, Mr. Verma has already talked about it, whether it's on the revenue from operations or contribution profit and margin or the PAT or EBITDA, so I'll not go through depth of that. And inorganic acquisitions in FY22, like he mentioned, in March we concluded the Gtropy Systems Private Limited acquisition of 75.98% for a consideration of 13.5 crores. And also in December, we had acquired a 9.99% stake in a young startup called Pupil Mesh in the ADAS and AR and reality metaverse tech space for 49.95 lakhs. So I'll just end with a few minutes on kind of what the opportunity ahead of us lies as a company. See, on the automotive and mobility side, there are 20 million new vehicles, including two-wheelers, sold every year, and 280 million existing vehicles on the road that both can benefit from our NCASE and digitization-based logistics, SaaS, and IoT technologies. And so there's a huge opportunity ahead of us as adoption rises in the A&M space. And on the C&E space, we all know how consumer app usage is growing up. So with 37 billion apps to be downloaded, etc., in FY22, and we are a B2B2C, meaning we provide our APIs which go built into that. And similarly, enterprise digital transformation, the digital services market for that is about $52 billion. And out of that, geospatial or our category of products, if you see the set of products we provide for digital transformation, forms a slice of that, which tells us that the industry is, you know, the market or addressable market is very large for our offerings. The government initiatives across the sector in terms of liberalization and regulations, but also macro trends like GPS-based tolling being increased, talked about, drone sector, ADAS, Digital India, you know, these are all trends that will help our business. So with that, I'll conclude my my part of the presentation, and Mr. Verma and I can take questions based on the moderator. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anmol Garg from DAM Capital. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations on the strong execution and operations and the order book. So I had a few questions. Firstly, wanted to understand the order book more in detail. So it would be great if you can highlight the key areas in both A&M and C&E segment where the orders we are getting, and also what proportion of the order book this time would be from the government contracts. That's first.
Okay. So again, the you know, in terms of A&M, C&E, or in terms of the fixed pricing and volume projections based order booking, I'm just pulling out the total numbers and the breakup. Yeah, it is 523 crores this year, out of which 278.67 is from volume projection based. So you can think of that as primarily automotive or OEM driven. And the rest of it, 244.9 crores, is from the fixed pricing bit. And like I said earlier, the order book does not include API transactions that might happen in future where customer has not pre-committed that, and it doesn't include subscriptions of IoT, which where the when the growth of their fleet happens, then those new kinds of those automatic kind of subscriptions or devices, it does not include that. And further on the government side, it will form a part of the fixed pricing kind of orders, and it's still a relatively small part of our order booking, less than around 10%, to give you a sense. Remember, in the government side, we are primarily a product and platform OEM company, so we tend to work with a lot of systems integrators. And an example of that, even if we go direct many times with a product and platform company, the example of that is, let's say, GSTN, Goods and Service Tax Network, where our maps are built in, and you are seeing when somebody has to sign up for GST, his GSTN, GST number, then also MapMedia has to get used as part of the GSTN Infosys portal. But we have gone direct with GSTN. Or in the case of Digital Sky Platform, where we work with the systems integrator Happiest Minds, and we are the OEM providers. So that should give you some flavor of government and also as a proportion of our total order book.
Sure. Thanks. And as a strategy, are we closing our government contracts at 10%, or can the percentage increase going ahead?
We see a large opportunity in the government and geospatial sectors. This is a fact that, you know, the government has taken on a lot of digital transformation initiatives. They are, I would say, a very, it's almost as a corporatized activity that across, center, state, and local, technology and digitization is something that government is fast adopting. Being a product and platform company, we feel that we are in a better position to handle the government business that we take on, but we don't want it to be a very large part of our portfolio, definitely. So government business, we will put a upper limit of, let's say, 20% of our business.
Sure. And secondly, wanted to understand a bit on the financial statements and particularly on the operating cash flow side. So this year we have seen that the operating cash flow has been relatively lower as compared to the last year. And in the balance sheet, we have seen that the others item in both current and non-current assets have increased this time. So, and also the receivable increase has been quite a bit in this year. So can you allude for the reason for the same? Thanks.
Let me start with receivables. If you look at the receivables as a percentage of sales, it has not gone up really. So it becomes a function of sales. Number two, particularly in December, whatever we bill, somehow that receivables get shown into the 31st March. So I don't think receivables should be looked at as if it has gone up. As far as the cash flow from operations is concerned, it's a very tricky thing based on the accounting standard and the way you and I might be understanding. When you move the amount or investments from a current to a non-current asset, it immediately shows off. And that's why, we have tried to give you that cash and cash equivalents number, which is from 330 or something to 380 crores after paying off dividend and after acquisition. So I think if you look at it that way, it gives a much better understanding of what has happened to the cash flow rather than looking at the way the accounting standards are calling for us to make the cash flow.
So 14 crores for G2P acquisition, and 10 crores odd for 10 and a half crores for dividends.
Right.
So those are two kind of.
Sure. Got it. Thanks. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Chopra from Goldman Sachs. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my end. So firstly, just on the growth in the C&E segment this year, 21% YOY, just wanted to understand from you as to how do you feel about that growth in the wake of the opportunity? Is that sort of more or less optimal considering that the volumes may be very, very high in this business with the increasing usage of e-commerce and so on? But given that you are signing fixed price contracts, the growth may be somewhere in this range in a very good year, or is this growth low for whatever reason in FY22?
Let me first say that the growth has been 31% year on year from revenue from operations. Not are you talking about C&E or overall?
Yes, consumer.
Only C&E.
Ah, okay. So I'll take that. You're talking about C&E specifically, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so two, three things to keep in mind. One is that, yes, C&E as a revenue this year has gone up by 20%. Answer is no, we don't think that this is the limitation for it. And a little bit you get that through from our order bookings, which is, like I said, volume projection-based order booking is reflective of automotive side of OEM side of the business. And the fixed pricing is reflective of C&E and other things. Now, fixed pricing word might be a bit misleading, and that's what I was trying to explain. Fixed pricing means where we are committed that we are going to get that money. It is just a function of time that we will bill that. The upside on that is increased API usage or increased subscriptions and those things. And that happens when our customers themselves grow. They may not have committed to us. They might not have signed an MG, minimum guarantee, but there is an upside that exists. So answers, we are bullish about C&E, and that's kind of coming through from the order book. So the future might look slightly different.
So any reason why the growth in this year was at 21%? Was it because of lower order bookings in the previous year because of the COVID, or was there any other factor playing there? Maybe the booking of milestones or something of that nature.
I mean, it's a little bit C&E is a function of kind of what order bookings we had in hand beginning of the year. No particular reason why it is at 20%, not that, if I look across our different customers, their business has also been growing. But yes, there might be more fixed price customers that we might have built this year, and the API component may have been smaller potentially, but no specific trend that I can tell you for this year right now. So why it's at 20%.
Okay, but based on the open order book, you believe there is a line of sight for acceleration in that materially going forward?
Both the line of sight and beyond line of sight, both are exciting in this space.
Sure, got it. And secondly, the order book that you mentioned in FY 20, 21 and 22, so the number has gone up quite handsomely. Would it be possible to share a ballpark duration, average duration of the order book in each of these periods? Has it been progressively increasing, or has it been more or less flattish?
It varies. Yeah, so I mean the range is 3 to 5 years that we've kind of shared. What is the contract? I would say that, again, it's not a trend. It's a function of, each order, what the contract is and how the sum of parts happen. So you can take it that 3 to 5 years is the average. I think whether it was three years earlier, four years, or five years, there's no specific trend.
I think that financial statement will disclose it, and kitna amount.
So to give you a sense, in FY21, out of that open order book of 377 crores, about 21 odd percent, about 80 odd crores was recognized from that open order book in FY22. So you can see out of 200 crores of revenue, 80 crores odd came from open order book, and rest 120 crores came from the in-year orders. That's in-year orders of about 520 crores. Now, in FY23, the out of the 700 crores of open order book, it is an estimate. Okay, we are not sure whether this will happen, but it's an estimate based on multiple factors, that about 24.5% of that 700 crores, that number might be about 170 or something like that, those will come from the open order book. So in that sense, you can see that the trend is, going down, like whatever, meaning from 5 years to 4 years or whatever. But again, these are going forward in the future, these are estimates, so I wouldn't. But yeah, hopefully that gives you some colors on the past order book to revenue conversion and this year, etc.
Yeah, that's quite helpful. And one last question from my side, just on the margins front. So while the margins expanded on a YOY basis, but they reduced if I adjusted, I mean, not reduced, but your employee expenses sequentially were significantly lower. If you could just explain what played out there and how should we expect the employee expenses line item to progress going forward.
Okay. The Q4 employee expenses, if you are finding that it has come down, I think that's your question, right?
Yes.
So there has been a technical adjustment that has happened in the employee expenses in the Q4. But not over the... So that technical adjustment is related to around 5.25 crores of provision that we had made for bonus and incentive in the first half of the year. It was decided that is not required to be paid at all, and hence a reversal of that has happened in this quarter. And that is what is showing you a lower Q4 number.
But if you look at the overall financial year, there's no...
Overall, impact. it has not come down from 53 crores, it has gone up to 57 crores.
Understood. And adjusted for that, the employee cost would be for 812 employees or for the 936 employees?
No, 800 and that.
Yeah, 812 only, because actually the G2P acquisition closed only by March. So really our consolidated only includes 1 month of kind of revenue and expense from G2P. So it's a very small amount.
Understood. That's clear. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Pandey from ICICI Securities. Kindly proceed.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just had two questions actually. I just wanted to understand your billing cycle in your consumer tech and enterprise business actually. Okay. And just wanted to get a sense of what kind of client concentration is present into your consumer tech business. Thank you.
Client concentration, Rohan talked about that 35 customers make up 80%. Now, if your question is out of that 35, how many are in A&M and how many are C&E, I would say 15-20 might be in C&E.
Slightly more in C&E than A&M. Yeah. Obviously, there are more customers in C&E universe than A&M. So, but again, in terms of concentration, I think it's diversifying and there's no real concentration even on C&E okay. side. And the billing cycle that you mentioned, see, a couple of different ways that we bill our C&E or book orders and bill our C&E customers. Somebody could be licensing our map data, for example, where we have a multi-year contract that they will license our map data, and the contract might say that we have to bill them on a yearly basis. That's one. There could be some scenarios where it's billed on quarterly basis also. Then on the API side where they are customers, they have to pay us per transaction. So imagine if you are opening or using some customer of ours app, every time you do a search or every time you see a map or every time you check the directions or distance, or they do a calculation to do that distance, for whatever use case, that we are getting paid a per transaction fee. So really it is a PaaS or API or SaaS kind of transaction-based revenue. In that, sometimes there are MGs, minimum guarantees, that we take from customers, which is payable on a quarterly or yearly basis. And then there are SaaS subscriptions for our IoT solutions, where per vehicle per year or per vehicle per month, they are paying for the usage of our products or platforms. So these are the different types of products which have slightly different billing cycles.
Okay, so basically you mean to say that it's a combination of transaction-based revenue also and subscription-based revenue also, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Transaction, okay, and subscription, and fixed price.
Annuity-based also, okay.
The annuities, exactly. Transaction, okay. Subscription, so, annuities, that's right.
Yeah, so is there any seasonality in this business? You know,
yeah, yeah, there
example,
is
like,
a
like
seasonality.
Contracts end into which quarter or, you know, like...
That's what we said, that look at our business on a year-to-date, year-on-year basis.
Correct.
It's the right way. If you look at it on a quarter-on-quarter basis, it will look lumpy. So, and that's the nature of the types of order books or contracts that we have. So, with different customers, it might be different.
So, give you a color, if you're thinking Q1 and Q3 is one kind of quarters and Q2 and Q4 are another kind of quarters.
So you mean to say the this contracts might end in Q4 actually? I mean like that. I mean generally consumer tech contracts end in Q4. You mean to say and
end meaning that our the cycle of the contracts and billing might be skewed towards, I think what Mr. Omar is saying is Q2 and Q4 versus Q1 and Q3.
Okay, and one my last question, Rakesh sir, you know, just wanted to understand, when I look at your government projects also, which almost accounts to 10% of your order book and revenue, just wanted to get a sense on that. Is there a seasonality in those contracts also, and what kind of pricing or billing is done in those projects also? Thank you.
In terms of getting the contract, signing the contract, yeah, there is a seasonality of Q4. Q4 helps in getting majority of the, not majority, a higher percentage of the contracts of the government. That's true. But as far as the billing is concerned, it is based on the timeline that is worked upon with the any contract, what period you have to deliver. So the Q1 and Q3 that I said may have a lighter revenue or billing compared to Q2 and Q4. One is the automotive itself that can play a role, because Q2, the automotive normal sales are much higher when they prepare for the Diwali kind of a thing. And Q4, when you try to complete some of the government projects by Q4.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for the detailed presentation.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mayank Badla from Dalal & Broacha. Kindly proceed.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My one question is basically, earlier in the call, you mentioned about ADAS and road safety platforms. Just request you if you could delve a little more or elaborate a little more on these platforms and what percentage of revenue do these platforms contribute, and what are your plans going ahead? Thank you.
Yeah, there's whether it is built into our maps and our navigation platforms is the capability to enable a driver while driving to get safety alerts that will help prevent an accident. So whether it is telling him or her that, you know, speed breaker, pothole, unsafe area, accident prone zone, or sharp curve is ahead, those are what alerts we are able to give on a real-time basis to the users to prevent them. On the IoT side, there is also camera-based IoT connected cameras also that we provide. So these are two different types of solutions. And then the third type of solution that we are building for ADAS is high definition maps or ADAS maps that will allow for higher level of autonomy. We also provide our customers the ability to do all these analytics. So not necessarily just when the driver is driving, so in a live production vehicle, but also whether it's the government organizations who are in charge of roads or highways, or whether it is logistics companies or any manufacturing company that has to move goods or to do the analytics as to where are the unsafe areas or stretches of roads in different parts. These are the kinds of geospatial analytics for road safety that we are able to provide. So there is an end consumer use case or application. There is these APIs or navigation or part of NKS platform solutions, as well as our analytics solutions. It's not very easy to specifically cull out revenue from this road safety platform or ADAS yet. It goes built in as a capability, USP benefit of our various suite of solutions. So there's no kind of, it is as in the automotive area, ADAS is becoming important consideration for customers. Them having MapMedia built in gives them this ability to offer additional road safety capabilities that other maps either don't have or because of the government regulation may not be able to offer. So similarly, on the other side, whether it's geospatial analytics or etc., it is one of the capabilities that we are able to build into our offering.
Sir, and this ADAS, you said it's in development stage or it's already monetized?
So we monetize it. If you look at a bunch of OEM customers, they are already kind of integrating, they already offer to their consumers these road safety alerts based on MapMedia's capabilities. So it is already in monetization. High definition maps, yes, is one of those future R&Ds that we have been doing to support higher levels of autonomy. And that is something that is under active development.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
Best of luck. Yeah.
The next question is from the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Naredi Investments. Kindly proceed.
Hello. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I have two questions, sir. The first one is, can financial year 21
hour...
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Agarwal, kindly proceed.
Yes, sir. In financial year 20, our consumer enterprise segment contribute to 30%. And in financial year 22, it's approximately 43%. So what will be expect in next 2 to 3 years?
The universe of we've always said from the beginning that look, these are two market segments we are serving, which have their own kind of growth trajectories, meaning both the markets are opening up. And to be honest, both of them have similar margin profiles for us. So it's hard to say which one will be larger or smaller. You will see some years the order booking on one grow faster and in some years the revenue growing faster. So it's just a combination of things. So we don't give a specific kind of trend as to where, which one will grow larger. But yeah, you can see the historical trend to kind of understand. And of course, there are so many customers that are there in CNE, but then automotive and mobility also is a very large market segment. So no specific trend that we see for the future. Both are their own independent growth vectors.
Okay. So my next question is, have you shared any color on upcoming order book orders or any pipeline which we are you working? It will be helpful if you share any update.
We try to give you the annual new order bookings and we try to give you the open order book. Of course, for the future order booking, we are continuously working hard to grow the pipeline, grow the order bookings. So, no specific kind of number to share on that, but A, market is opening up and B, we are also kind of continuing to accelerate our sales and marketing efforts, upselling opportunities, cross-selling opportunities. So we're still quite bullish on kind of the different use cases and opportunities which will get converted into orders in the future.
I think you can take it this way, that the pipeline is strong. It's a question of when we are able to convert it into real orders. So, but we are quite bullish about that because the pipeline is strong.
Okay, thank you. It's helpful. The last one is the revenue from two-wheeler electric vehicle is there any major contribution? Have you quantified any number?
Actually, the number of electric vehicle OEMs which are going live has increased in the last year. That is very exciting. And some of them are obviously already kind of launched, whether it was your MG electric vehicle, which launched in, Jan-Feb with our solution, the Bajaj electric Chetak, for example. There's a bunch of OEMs. We had even reported in Q3. So some of the OEMs who are using our connected vehicle platform. We obviously don't put out separate kind of electric vehicle-driven revenue as part of our kind of A&M segment. But suffice to say, qualitatively, at least, you are seeing that electric vehicle market go up. More and more electric vehicle OEMs are signing up with us. We have the right solution with the right differentiator. In the MG vehicle, for example, you can see the expected range in terms of a spider map very specifically, rather than a generic calculation based on your kind of the route, terrain, destination, traffic, and even potentially driving behavior. I think the OEMs require such types of solutions, whether it is EV charge station finders or kind of, reserving or booking through the vehicle. So, yeah, we see bright future for electric adoption, but yeah, we have not yet broken that out as a sub-metric.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to restrict their questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Kindly proceed.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. The first question is on this Gtropy software acquisition. It appears to me that this is an aftermarket solution per se. How will the go-to-market strategy be, and how does Gtropy complement our existing offerings per se? Because this market, at least the vehicle tracking solutions, appears is getting more and more crowded. So how does their capabilities complement what we already have, and what will be the go-to-market strategy here? Is it via OEMs that we plan to approach this for the solution? Any thoughts you can share?
Yeah, it's a good question, and actually it's very complementary and very additive. A couple of things I'll say. One is by creating a kind of merged entity of our IoT business with a very strong business leader, as a CEO of that business, a very strong founding team, cross-functional, we can give a focus and accelerate the growth in this very large market, which is quite fragmented. But we are a scale player. We are one of the largest players in this space. So a lot of consolidation might happen, or small players might get, edged out as the large players get focused. And that was one of the core reasons that we saw a large market opportunity. As I mentioned, 280 million existing vehicles on road can benefit from digitization. And that's where, the large macro potential addressable market is for us to sell our IoT and logistics SaaS. The other very good capability that they bring is very deep domain knowledge, as well as credibility, experience, expertise in servicing logistics sector. So it is a deep, not just vehicle tracking or not just managing a fleet, but all the things required for a logistics department of an enterprise, or all the tools required for a logistics service provider, including fintech, including ERP. So that's what they brought into the table, a deep domain knowledge for logistics. Whereas historically, MapmyIndia has been focused a lot on the passenger transport-based fleets, be it taxis, etc. So that became very interesting to us. And then the combination of Gtropy and MMI, or MapmyIndia, is the power of our maps to provide logistics companies with, you know, for example, GPS-based tolling. Now, we know what are the toll stretches across the country. We know all the toll booths. We know all the toll stretches. So based on routes that people have to service, meaning a start point and end point, we can tell them the cheapest tollable route, and then they can see the adherence on that using the G2P solution. Or a lot of analytics as to, you know, where the potential accident prone zones are, so that might cause hazardous goods to have an accident, which might lead to other things, or very detailed or specific ETAs. So G2P allows us to have a focus on IoT. They are very complementary when it comes to logistics. They also are bringing in a strong business focus, and our capabilities when merged into their offerings provides kind of a highly differentiated market leading, of course, backed with scale and muscle of the size of Mapfre India. So we are very, very bullish on kind of where this business and hence our consolidated IoT will go in the future.
Sure, sir. Thanks for that. Just one point on this Mapples and the global revenue opportunity, sir. In F22, if you can give some perspective of how big was our revenue pie from some of the global customers per se, just some sense, and what kind of opportunity does this Mapples platform open up per se, just from an opportunity side or anything of that sort, if you can share. Lastly, just a margin range, what margin range would we want to operate in? Would it be like a 43% to 45% range in terms of the margins? Any range if you can share. Thank you.
Margin front, Mr. Verma will talk. We want to maintain a range. He'll talk about it. I'll answer your other question on the Mapples global opportunity. See, historically, we definitely have international customers, but they have been paying us or using us for their India market solutions, for our India market solutions. But if you look at the kind of global addressable market, there are advanced countries in the West where there's more adoption of our type of technology. Of course, on the East also, and then there's emerging markets in Southeast Asia, Middle East, and then further kind of much behind us markets, let's say Africa, etc. So by making a Mapples platform, we are readying ourselves for kind of international expansion or being able to service the international market needs of either our Indian customers who want to go global or who have global operations, as well as for other customers globally who play in the same space as our Indian customers' marquee names. But we have not been able to approach them in the past because we didn't have an offering that could be relevant to their markets. So the opportunity size is quite large. The international market revenues will take some time to build up. It is a trivial component of our revenue in the past. But are we serious? Are we engaged? And for that, we have also brought in a president for APAC. Who comes from who's based in Korea and who comes with 20 plus years of experience, 10 of them in Hyundai as an automotive OEM, but also in the telecom and other enterprise segments, and has worked in Europe and US as well. And we brought him into our CINFO International subsidiary, which is our US subsidiary, from which we'll do a lot of the Mapples international market business. So whether it is in the A&M space, automotive NKS, or mobility, IoT, logistics, SaaS, or consumer tech, APIs, or enterprise digital transformation solutions that we offer, which are location powered, all of the opportunities that we service in India, most of them we can also service in the global market. We are being a bit deliberate, a bit careful about how we expand. But that's what gives us that kind of excitement in the 3 to 5 year time frame for the true international market revenue potential for us also. on the margin profile?
On the margin, if you, I can give you the color. If you look at, think about the fact, in 21 we achieved 31%. In 22 we have achieved 36%. That's a good range to operate, and some of the things within the company we try to ensure that the management of the company should operate within some parameters. So this is a good range when I talk about 31 to 36 for PAT, for EBITDA, 41 to 48, that's a good range we need to operate. And similarly, EBITDA 35% to 43% range is how we have operated in the past. So this is the kind of margin range I can talk about.
I mean, basically, see, we want to also fuel our growth, so we'll try to keep these margins calibrated so that the future also, we can accelerate.
Understood, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Babel from Shubhkam Ventures. Kindly proceed.
Good evening, sir. Just one question from my side. What kind of order new order booking you are targeting for this current year, FY23?
I think we talked a little bit about the pipeline looks strong. We are looking to, of course, grow on all fronts. So no specific kind of number to tell you right now for what FY23 order booking will look like, but of course we're working hard to kind of continue to grow it.
But any growth range, sir, like 10-15%, 20-25%, because this FY22 was very good.
So let's hope. I can only say let's hope and work towards making it still better.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Uppal from Philip Capital. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, thanks, sir, for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Just one question on the R&D expenses. So you mentioned that in FY21, R&D expenses were around 3 crores, which went up to 5 crores in 22. So the range is about 2-2.5% of revenue. So is this the benchmark for R&D for a particular year, or from FY23 onwards you are expecting R&D expenses to go up? And also if you can elaborate which are the areas where you are investing. Thanks.
See, the R&D expense in our case so far is more of expenses on people who are deployed for the R&D. So there are three stages, let me explain. A very core R&D, like we are doing it on high definition maps. Then from there it turns out to a productization where we convert the results of the R&D into building the product, and then the third part is the operations of the product so that the customers are served. So when I talked about 3 crores to 5 crores, that's a good range because it is really spending on the cost, it is practically the cost of the people. Some equipments are there when we have to buy, or some other things we might require, but 2-3% is a good range, I can say.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Sharma from MC Pro Research. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you are.
First of all, congratulations on good set of numbers. Two questions really. One is bookkeeping. Would like to understand that the other expenses kind of went up. So can you please talk about what is driving them, and is it a permanent nature?
This is for Q4 you said, or you are wanting us to answer for Q4 or FY?
Q4.
Q4.
See, the what is this other expense? Normally when you don't, it is only a summary or a consolidation of several expenses like advertising expense, like infrastructure expense, So like that, when these expenses, I can't give you an answer this minute, honestly. Maybe our CFO can be called and he might give you the details. No problem.
Understood. No problem. I'll reach out offline. Second question, if I may, can you please provide some color on what kind of market share, aspirational probably, you want to cover by, say, by 2025? Some sense to it. Referring to your the slide on the total addressable market.
It's hard to determine the market size and hence market share in some of the areas. Automotive OEMs, it is relatively easy to see because, you know, you see all the cars and you see where we are and where our competitors are, etc. So that's one area where, you know, historically the market share has been quite high, in the order of 80 to 90%. In the rest of it, you know, our aspiration, I can tell you that we definitely want to be the largest player in as many spaces as possible, whether it's the IoT and logistics space, where we have acquired Gtropy with that intent to kind of scale that up, or even when it comes to the API space, where, you know, customers, more and more customers are coming and switching to our APIs in the last year as we offer more better quality maps, more features, and even more kind of API building blocks to help them build better applications. If you look at our API portfolio, you'll see it's almost like a mini AWS, you know, in terms of many, many types of application building blocks, going further beyond just maps to tracking, to telematics, to workforce automation, to geospatial analytics, to dashboarding. So developers, once they come onto our platform, you know, they start getting more and more reasons to stick with us. And then there's the whole geospatial space, you know, which is also an increased focus for us as the market for that, especially from the government side, is opening up. So, hard to say a market share aspiration, but suffice to say that, look, the addressable market is very large. We look at inspiration not just in our sector from global companies, but also generally blue chip companies from India. So the long-term aspiration is to be a very large company built based on data and technology. And, you know, we're working year on year, quarter on quarter towards that larger vision, as well as the short-term and a performance.
Let me add something. I got a message saying that the EBITDA margin range, which I talked about, was not very clearly audible. I said it is in the range of that 35% to 43%.
That's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srishti Jain from Monarch Networth Capital. Kindly proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I had one question on the fact that our new order bookings have slightly tapered down. So in FY21, we had about, you know, 468 crores, and now we are in FY22 we are doing 523 crores. Is there a reason why the growth isn't as much as what we saw in FY21?
I mean, see, the order booking growth is a different vector than the revenue growth. You know, orders will get converted to revenue, so it tends to help compound the revenue in future. So, so order booking itself growing itself is a very, very strong signal for the future revenue for the company. No particular reason. The pipeline is very strong. What we could convert in FY23, we have reported that, but the balance of our pipeline is quite strong and will get converted in what we could convert in FY22, we have reported as 523 crores. Balance of that, as much as we can convert based on what the pipeline was, we'll convert in FY23. And then there are new opportunities, and that's what we try to explain, that look, we are opening up more and more use cases for our products and solutions, more and more markets, And so it is our own reach to more and more customers and being able to convert it that will result in the outcomes. It's down to our execution.
Oh, understood, sir. Sir, and on the automotive side, right, if you look at FY20 and FY22, you know, ignoring FY21, which is a COVID-impacted year, the growth hasn't been as much as the opportunity size, be it in EV or be it ADAS vehicles. So is there a reason why, and, you know, on the same lines, how important is embedded navigation to these OEMs? And, you know, are we still holding the 80% market share in automotive?
Yeah, see, FY22, we talked about in Q3 earnings call about the semiconductor impact. So keep that in mind as one. What I said is 1.3 million vehicles versus 1 million vehicles went with MapIndia Maps and technologies versus what you can see what the growth or degrowth or flat of the automotive sales itself was. So that should give you a sense. And the third thing which I told you is, look, our embedded navigation is now an NK suite. The kinds of capabilities that we offer, it is not just a vanilla navigation. So there is so many more features that it offers besides accuracy and quality of the experience that, yes, you are seeing companies like MG Motors and Mahindra which are really leveraging the power of this of our capabilities as well as the EV two-wheelers. I didn't talk about it as a Q4 win because it was earlier win, but you are seeing in the social media these days, Ola Electric kind of talk about its move OS 2. So that's obviously something that we are powering. So answer is, the navigation as a use case is very important to consumers. OEMs need to offer it. And added on to that with our safety and electric and other connected capabilities like in-vehicle commerce or what will come as GPS-based tolling, I think our value proposition is very strong to OEMs. And so we are bullish on that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kashyap from Shubh Labh Research. Kindly proceed.
Hello.
Mr. Kashyap.
Hello, I'm audible.
Yes, you're audible.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is, this quarter employee cost was down by around 5 CR. So whether the reason is layoff or something?
We had explained that earlier, that if you look at the FY full year basis, there's the trend is from 53 crores to 57 crores, so that is only growing. But in Q4, as we said, that in the first half of the year, we had provisioned for, 5.25 crores of bonus and incentives, which in the end were not paid, and hence you are seeing that reflected in Q4. So, but on the FY full year basis, there is no impact. It was just a quarter.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I would like to say thank you very much to everybody for joining the call and asking the questions. We, of course, remain very bullish and excited about where the future is going for the company, and thank everybody for being a continued and long-term shareholder, and very happy to keep getting inputs on products, on business, and we are very responsive to that, and that's part of our DNA to keep innovating and evolving, and look forward to your continued engagement. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.